Got handouts on the printer if anybody wants to pass those out. We are still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 9, we are starting point. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Okay, those, we'll cover those verses, God willing, next week. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Right, the Sadducees were among those who said there's no resurrection of the dead. They did not believe in it. 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. All right, skip down to verse number 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we look at this this important matter of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our resurrection to follow, I pray, Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts the very importance of this, how very important it is to the way we live our life and the hope that it gives us. And help us, Lord, to see the logic that's here. And the hope that's in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I want to look at look with you this morning from these verses. I want you to see there's seven consequences which follow a denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the resurrection in general. If there is no resurrection, if there is no life beyond this one, why would you even worry about sin? You know, for example, do you know why today's politicians live such wicked lives? Do you know why their crowd lives such wicked lives? Do you know why their associates and their supporters live such wicked lives? Because they were taught, just like we were, in their youth, they're an animal. They're descended from an animal. They will die like an animal. They will rot like an animal. They have no God. They have no accountability. They have no day of judgment. They live, they die, and it's over. And since you live and you die and it's over, why worry about judgment? Why worry about right and wrong? Why worry about reward and punishment? Why not just gratify the lusts of your flesh to the fullest measure while you're alive? Now notice that's in the Bible, verse number 32. If the dead rise not, he says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's nothing to life but death, if there's nothing at the end of our days in this mortal body but a grave, well, then by all means, let's just do whatever the flesh desires. Don't let anyone put any kind of restrictions on you. Don't let anyone put restraints on you. Don't feel guilty. Don't get convicted. Don't worry about your conscience. Do whatever you feel like doing. Do whatever comes naturally. Do whatever appeals to your lusts at the moment, because after all, there's no difference between you and a dog, except you got some money in your pocket and the dog is broke. Now, you know what a dog does? A dog does whatever it feels like doing, unless somebody forces it to mind or to obey for a moment or two. And even then, you're lucky if you can get the dog to do what you want and not bite you. But do you know why? That dog has no conscience. That dog has no morals. That dog has no God. That dog has no fear of judgment. That dog has no sense of responsibility or accountability for its actions. It's just an animal, just a beast. So do you know what the school teacher does? That sweet, nice school teacher in the elementary school classroom? They teach you, you are the evolutionary product of a chance circumstance or happenstance meeting between a UFO alien and a gorilla. You're going to die like a beast, so why not live like a beast? Your future is the same as that of a beast, so why have morals that are superior to that of a beast? Do whatever you feel like doing. Now, you can say what you will, but hey, if you had a choice, if you were an evolutionist, if you really believed that, if you really and truly believed in the theory of evolution, your heroes would be Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. Because those men didn't mealy-mouth and piddle around like evolutionists in America do. They said, if this thing is true, then let's practice it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's implement it. Let's put it into action. let's get rid of the weak and the faulty and the pitiful and the degenerate members of our race, so that in the next wave of the evolutionary process, our people will be superior. Now, do you know what the difference is between Adolf Hitler and the college professor who believes in evolution? Hitler had the guts to practice it. The college professor, he just teaches it. Some people say they believe the Bible. They read it, they study it, they learn it, but then they don't practice it. Others read it, study it, learn it, and then they do what it says. And those are the kind of people that are the ones that'll shake up the world. They'll do something. They'll make a difference. They shake up the town. They shake up the job. They shake up the neighborhood. They shake up the family. Your family doesn't care what you know about the Bible as long as you don't do it. Your family doesn't care what you believe about the Bible as long as you don't live it. Now, you know what the United States of America has never seen within its own borders? They have never seen a practicing evolutionist. Germany saw one. Hungary saw one. Poland saw one. Soviet Union saw one. Those men put the theory of evolution into practice. Now, can I say something? And I hope you're listening carefully, because I don't want you to take this wrong. Adolf Hitler was a moral evolutionist. And I'll tell you what I mean. He tried to get rid of the prostitutes. He tried to get rid of the sodomites. He tried to get rid of all of those elements that he thought. Now listen, I'm not saying he was right. I'm not saying that what he believed to be harmful and dangerous, what he believed to be harmful and dangerous, elements within the evolutionary process, and sought to get rid of them. I'm not saying it was right, but he was a moral evolutionist. Now, some people might be upset when I say that because they believe morals are the final authority. They got that from James Dobson and the Shrinks. The Word of God, that's the final authority, though. And Charles Manson, he had morals. David Koresh, he had morals. They just were not Bible morals. Adolf Hitler applied a moral approach to the theory of evolution. And he's far more upright than Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint and Bob Livingston and Newt Gingrich and many other politicians and that believe in evolution and use it to justify sin and devilment. You know, since we're animals and we're going to die at the end of our lives, let's get everything we can for ourselves while we're alive. That's the immoral and that's the amoral evolutionist. At least Hitler and his crowd, they looked and they said, all right, if evolution is true, we are going to die. But let's leave things better than they were when we found them. Now, don't go out of here saying that I like Adolf Hitler and I think he was a good man. I think he was as wicked as anybody that ever lived, and I believe he's in hell today. But I'm telling you, Hitler practiced evolution with a view to the future. Americans, they practice evolution with a view to right now. Okay? And as a result, you're able to stamp out Hitler's movement, but you can't stamp out what's taking place or taking America down the sewer. It's far more subtle, far more widespread, and in the long run, you find out it's far more dangerous, damaging. That's something to think about. You know why men could talk about family values and being the right-wing moral candidate while they're shacking up and splitting up and committing adultery and getting drunk and holding cocktail parties for their constituents and talk about being the right-wing moral candidate? You know why? They're evolutionists. They practice the theory of evolution. I am an animal. What is it that feels good today? I'm an animal. What furthers my cause for the moment? Okay? And they'll call it situation ethics. They'll call it pragmatism. They call it hedonism. You know what God called it? A denial of biblical truth concerning the resurrection. Concerning the resurrection. You are going to live beyond the grave. And you are going to stand before God. And you are going to give account for your deeds. And you are going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And only when someone believes that in a practical sense is their life changed. That's the only thing that will change your life. So what are the seven fruits or the seven results in this passage of denying the resurrection? Number one, in verse number 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Then is our preaching vain. The good news, the gospel, would be hollow. It would be meaningless it would be a false proclamation. What is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. If there is no resurrection, that gospel is a lie. That gospel is empty. It's meaningless. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? You're going to die someday. Yeah, well, he died one day, but then nothing. All right. If he didn't rise from the dead, our gospel suddenly becomes just another religious fairy tale. Vain, empty, and meaningless. You have no good news to preach if Christ didn't rise from the dead. You have no hope to offer this world if Christ didn't rise from the dead. You have nothing to proclaim if Christ didn't rise from the dead. You go visit the criminals in the jail. Here's a fella who his home is gone, his family is gone, his future is gone, and he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life. What have you got to offer him if you're not going to live beyond the grave? You go preach in a nursing home to a bunch of elderly men and women. What are you going to preach? Healing? What are you going to preach? Tongues? What are you going to preach? Prosperity? What are you going to preach? Oh, think of beautiful thoughts. Tomorrow's going to be a better day than today. They're going to die, probably soon. If Christ isn't risen from the dead, you don't have anything good to tell them. You go down to the hospital. You walk in that hospital room. And you go in there with a big smile on your face and a flower in your hand. And you take that patient by the hand. You put your other hand on their head and you say, here, just hold this rose and just think wonderful, beautiful thoughts. Just meditate upon the beauty of life and meditate on the beauty of nature. Hey, what an empty, meaningless bunch of junk that would be. If you can't walk in there and say the Lord Jesus Christ walked into the grave, took the keys of death and hell, walked out under his own power, said, I'm alive forevermore, I've got the keys of hell and of death, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, I can take your soul to heaven the moment your soul leaves your body, I can give you everlasting life. If you can't tell that to somebody, what do you have that's worth telling them? You may as well just go home and watch a movie. I mean, why bother? I'm lying in a hospital bed, about to die. Man walks in there with his shirt turned around backwards. Or a man walks in there with a big cross around his neck. Or a fellow walks in there in a suit and tie. And he comes over, he sits beside my bed, and he says, well, how you doing? What a dumb question that is. I've got the tubes going down my throat and up my nose, I got wires hooked up all over my body, and this guy smiles and asks me how I'm doing. Well, yeah, okay, I appreciate the fact that he's come in there to try to make me feel good. But I'm not stupid. I can hear that beep, 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 beep behind my head. I see the chart there at the foot of my bed. I see those nurses coming in and out, giving me shots, giving me pills and everything else. This guy can't make me feel good. I'm not stupid. I know I'm going to die. If he cannot offer me some good news that there's more to life than just checking out, and there's more to life than a beautiful spot in the cemetery, and there's more to life than a bronze plaque on the mausoleum where they're going to put my bones, if he's got nothing more than that to offer me, he ought to just take up golf and get out of the ministry. Well, let's just be honest about it. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, and we cannot offer men and women a hope of life beyond the grave, what do we have to talk about? Nothing. It's that important. It's that important. Number two, the Bible says in verse 14, not only is our preaching vain, your faith is also vain. Your faith is also vain. I do not doubt there are sincere Buddhists, sincere Muslims, sincere Protestants, sincere Catholics who genuinely believe that their good deeds, their good works, their efforts, their labors are going to earn them eternal life, whatever that might mean to them. Okay? But if your hope is in anything other than the resurrected Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You've got no hope, none whatsoever. If you've ever seen a Jehovah's Witness, you probably know they're always out knocking on doors, always talking to people about their religion or passing out their pamphlets and their booklets about paradise on earth. And I'll tell you, if anyone could earn heaven, that Jehovah's Witness, man, they'd have the biggest throne. They'd have the biggest mansion. They'd have the greatest reward. But you know what they've got? If they die, you know what they've got? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Their faith is not in the resurrected Christ. They don't even believe that he was resurrected. They believe his spirit is floating around somewhere. But he never, never, never got up out of the grave. So you know what they've got? Nothing. They're good people, but they've got nothing. They work hard at their religion, but they've got nothing. They're faithful, but they got nothing. The only hope you've got is that Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb. You've got no other hope. Some of you still need to be baptized, but I want you to know there's no hope in that water. Maybe you want to join in and be more a part of what's going on in the church. That won't get you to heaven. You want to go out and pass out some gospel tracts? Praise God, glad you do. You want to go knock on some doors and witness to some people? Wonderful. You want to contribute so we can get some more materials, tracts, Bibles, that kind of thing to give out to people? We sure do appreciate it. But you've got no hope at all if you think that any of that or all of that is going to get you to heaven. The only hope you've got is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's the only hope you got. Number three, the Bible says in verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. All right? If there is no resurrection, if there is no life beyond the grave, Peter was a liar, James was a liar, John was a liar, Paul was a liar, Jude was a liar, Matthias was a liar, Thaddeus and Bartholomew were liars. They're liars. You know how much confidence I would have in the epistle to the Corinthians or the Ephesians or the Galatians or 1 Peter or Jude or James or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You know how much confidence I would have in those books if I found out Jesus Christ never rose from the dead? Zilcho, zippo, negatory, none. None whatsoever. Why? Because I'd know they're a bunch of liars, false prophets, false witnesses, if Christ didn't rise from the dead. Now listen, if there's no resurrection, Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, and what is preached to us from the New Testament scriptures, what is written to us in the New Testament scriptures, cannot be trusted. If Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, then you have in your hands the words and writings of faithful witnesses, and you can believe it. You can believe it. Number four, the Bible says the faith of believers would be vain, not merely in a strict sense like we had in verse 14, but look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Now, why is that? Why is that? Your faith is vain in a practical sense. That is, you have put your faith in someone, you've put your faith in something that cannot help you. Now, I know there are people who get some help from what they call 12-step programs. I know that. I know there's people who get some help from seeing a shrink and talking about their troubles. Okay? I know that. I understand that. But I'm telling you something. This program that says invent your own God and worship Him, pick your own higher power and trust Him, choose the Redeemer of your choice as long as you believe in Him, I'm telling you, that faith is vain. It will get you nowhere. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, but He's the teacher Jesus, or the healer Jesus, or the good guy Jesus, or the help you with your troubles when you're down Jesus, you've got no help. Your help has got to be in the resurrected, glorified, victorious Lord Jesus Christ. I go to a meeting, one of those 12-step meetings. Sit down. They say, hey, how you doing? Hi, my name is Bob. I'm a Nintendo addict. I've been playing Mario Brothers since I was a kid. Every time I get home from work, first thing I do, I turn on Nintendo. Sometimes I play till the sun goes down and it's time for bed. It's really messing up my family life, man. I just can't help it. I love Mario Brothers. That music, it just mesmerizes me. The sound effects, they're so captivating. I tell you, those plumbers, they're my heroes. Well, you know, he says, well, what are you going to do about it? You say, well, oh, I'm trying to get Jesus to help me. Hold it. Now, that's good for you and all that. We understand it. I can appreciate it. But, you know, you got to understand there's some people here. They have different beliefs. So we need you to just try to keep that Jesus stuff to yourself and just kind of generalize a higher power that you're trusting to help you. Now, wait a minute. I need some help, and a dead man can't help me. I need some help, and a guy who's rotting in a grave can't help me. If you're not going to let me put my faith and my trust for my problem in the resurrected, all-powerful, victorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't pretend that you can help me, because your Jesus, that's a nice guy, but isn't God. And your Jesus, that's a nice guy, but He isn't the only Lord. And your Jesus, that's a nice guy, but, well, He offends some of the Jews that are here, so they don't want to hear His name. Whoever that Jesus is, He's not the Jesus of the Bible. And He can't help me out. I don't want a vain faith in a Jesus that isn't the right Jesus. I want the resurrected Jesus. I want the all-powerful Jesus. Number five, ye are yet in your sins. When a man dies, it's a testimony that he's a sinner. The wages of sin is death, right? When a man stays dead, it's a testimony that he died guilty and condemned. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, you are lost in your sins, even if you believe in him, even if you worship him, even if you put your faith and your trust in him. Because if he did not rise from the dead, he did not pay for your sins. Are you with me? Do you get that? Okay. Why do men die? They're sinners. Why do they stay dead? Look, I'm not staying dead. I'm coming up. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead and you are yet in your sins, you're on your way to hell. The gospel is he died for our sins. He was buried. And the proof that all sins were paid for is he rose from the dead. That's the only thing that's going to do it. Number six. The Bible says in verse number 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Do you know why saved people have hope at the graveyard? The empty tomb of Jesus. Do you know why we grieve for our loved ones who've died, but it's not like the world who has no hope? It's because we know we'll see that saved mother again. We know we're going to see that saved daddy again. We know we'll see that saved son or daughter again. We know we're going to see those saved loved ones again, those saved brothers and sisters in the Lord. We know of a certainty we will see them again. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, you'll never see anybody again. They died like a dog. The worms ate them. That's it, buddy. They're done. Boy, that's a great hope, isn't it? Isn't that a blessed hope? Bible says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14. The only hope you've got of seeing your loved ones again is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they won't rise from the dead. And you'll never see them again. If Jesus rose from the dead, okay, if he rose from the dead, those people, believers in Christ that were buried, we will have a blessed reunion with them in the land of the living. If he didn't rise from the dead, forget it. Hang on to that loved one's picture as long as you can. Hang on to that lock of hair as long as you can, because that's all you'll ever get. Number seven. As to living Christians, look at verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. This is a kind of a tough one for Americans to get a grip on, most Americans, because getting saved in America costs you absolutely nothing. And living for the Lord in America will very, very rarely, once in a great while, under a certain set of circumstances, but hardly ever, cause you some trouble. But suppose you're living in North Korea. You find a Bible that somebody hid in a building somewhere. You get saved. You get born again. You go to work the next day and you're excited. You can't contain yourself. You preach the gospel. You tell the good news to your job mate. He goes to report you. You're arrested. You're jailed. You're tortured. And on the way to your final execution, you say to yourself, well, this is the end, but it sure was worth it. I mean, you couldn't live a better life than getting jailed and tortured and now executed. The end. I mean, really? Really? There's no resurrection. There's no life beyond the grave. But it's better to get stoned. It's better to be beaten. It's better to be flayed alive. Better to have the flesh ripped off your body. Better to be boiled in salt water. Better to be torn by wild beasts than it is to just play it cool and, you know, get rich and buy a house and go on vacation. You're kidding. If there is no resurrection, what a miserable thing for Christians around the world to suffer loss and die for faith in Jesus Christ if they're just going to die and rot in the grave. What kind of sense does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. Christians around the world have been tortured in terrible ways. One time they marched some men out naked onto a frozen lake in Siberia, and they were left to stand there till they froze to death. Others were tied to a stake with wood piled around them, and they were burned alive. And then there's tortures that are so terrible you can't even mention them in mixed company. You wonder how the devil himself even thought about those tortures. Imagine going through all of that, and then there's no resurrection? That was just a lie? And then they take your ashes and throw them in the river, and that's the end of you? If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, what a miserable thing for people to live for Jesus Christ around this world. What a miserable thing to give up not only the world, not only the things of the world, but your own health, your own safety, your very life, just for a fairy tale. Well, let's go back through this. Let's flip it around. If Christ is risen from the dead, then our preaching is not vain. It's the power of God. If Christ is risen from the dead, our faith is not vain. Our faith is genuine. It's real. It's substantial. If Christ is risen from the dead, we are preaching the truth, and nobody else is. We're not false witnesses. We are the one voice of truth in this dark world. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then we are not in our sins. We are forgiven. We are free. We are clean. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, our loved ones have not perished and rotted away, never to be seen or heard from again. No, they are awaiting our gathering and reunion at the banquet, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we are the only people in the world who have a right to not be miserable. We've got all this and heaven too. I believe he is risen from the dead. How about you? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for the hope you've given us, the assurance that you've given us today. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that our faith is not vain, that we have a sure foundation, a sure hope, and we can know for certain what will happen beyond our death. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the responsibility to preach this true message so that others can get the hope that we have. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to cling to that, to the gospel, the news that Jesus Christ, though he died and he was buried, he has indeed risen from the dead. And that's the important message we need to bring to this lost world so that they can have the same hope that we do. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in proclaiming this gospel message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.